I'm Jim Cameron, Jim Cameron Consulting, broadcasting from the Fountainhead, home of Synergy Billing, and I'm your host for Volusia Matters, news, interviews, and matters that impact Volusia County, directly or indirectly. And if you would, please click the like and or follow button if you want to receive notice of this podcast, because it'd sure help me. And now for the news. The Daytona Beach Charter Review Commission is hosting town hall meetings where the public can share their recommendations for changes to the city charter. Members of the Charter Review Commission have started reviewing the city's 36-page document and will be making recommendations for changes, additions, which will be presented in a final report to the City Commission on June the 5th. Now, one town hall meeting was already held March 25th at the Charles Cherry Community Center, and next meetings will be Monday, April the 8th, Daytona Beach Police Department Community Room, 129 Valor Boulevard. Also, Monday, April 22nd, Schnebly Center, 1101 North Atlantic Avenue. Both meetings will begin at 6 p.m. And for more Charter Review Commission info, go to www.codb.us/charter-review. And also in Daytona, at its March 20th meeting, Daytona Beach City Commission initiated plans to build a new fire station on South Ridgewood Avenue to replace the current station at Orange Avenue and South Beach Street, and to also upgrade Jackie Robinson Ballpark with new amenities. And speaking of Jackie Robinson Ballpark, Daytona Tortugas kick off their 2024 season with their first home game on Tuesday, April the 9th. Moving on, New Smyrna Beach City Commission has begun a nationwide search to find a new city manager to take over for Khalid Reshtet, who served the city for 35 years and plans to retire in August. City commissioners are working with Strategic Government Resources, Inc. in seeking applicants. Now, while the commission itself determines policy, a city manager carries out the day-to-day operations of all city departments. They advise the commission on different issues and matters, and they implement the city's annual budget. Now, all workshops will be held at City Commission Chambers, 214 Sams Avenue. First one, April 18th, 5:30. Preliminary introduction of applicants, from which commissioners will select 8 to 12 semifinalists. Next one, May 16th, 5:30, commissioners will select 3 to 5 finalists. Next one, June 7th, 5:30, open house for the public to meet and greet the finalist. And then Saturday, June 8th, 9 a.m., the commission will ask questions of the finalist and make their selection. Next item, at county council meeting yesterday, April 2nd, council adopted 2024 ECHO grant recommendations from their advisory committee. Projects selected were the Historic Seville School Restoration Project, Ormond Beach Sports Complex softball quad installation of LED lighting, and Nova Community Park fields improvements, and City of Port Orange playground improvements, New Smyrna Beach skate park expansion, and Edgewater Hawks Park pickleball courts, and Volusia Flagler YMCA athletic fields and playground, and Stetson University Lake Beresford shoreline restoration public access enhancements. Sandra Stetson Aquatic Center. Council also appointed Ann Evans, DJ Lebo, and Terry Satoram to the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee. Also, New Smyrna Beach, City Commissioners approved an ordinance to halt issuance of building permits that impact the malfunctioning storm water system in Venetian Bay Phase 2 until flooding issues are resolved. Now, this temporary moratorium will go on until June 25th and targets apartments, shops, stores that have been on the table. Now, home construction projects already with permits are not affected. City officials said it's Venetian Bay's responsibility to pay for the cost to make the improvements, and it's the city's job to make sure it happens. And on somewhat of a side note, if you listen to this podcast, I'd like to recommend The Smoking Truth, another podcast hosted by Deltona Commissioner Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo. It also covers county, school district, city, and legislative issues. Lots of good dialogue. Now, does it measure up to Volusia Matters podcast? No. But it comes close. And I highly recommend it. Moving on. After Hurricane Ian, several Port Orange neighborhoods experienced severe flooding. So, Mayor Don Burnett announced the city received a $15 million grant from the state to replace and upgrade filters and emergency generators at their wastewater facility to ensure the system doesn't go down again during a major flooding hurricane event. The city is also lining thousands of feet of stormwater pipes and upgrading lift and pump stations to help with drainage. All of these updates will be complete in the next year or two. Next, Volusia League of Cities met March 28th in Orange City, where Florida League of Cities Senior Legislative Advocate Jeff Branch provided a recap of recent legislative action that will impact cities. One bill, vacation rental units, Senate Bill 280, has not yet been delivered to the governor, at least for now, but it will shift regulatory authority to the state's Department of Business and Professional Regulation, curtailing local government authority to regulate vacation rental units in residential neighborhoods. Branch also mentioned that the governor has signed a statewide ban against sleeping and camping on public sidewalks, and House Bill 1365 would allow businesses and residents to sue local governments if there are any infractions of this law. Now, it would also allow counties to set up encampments if local shelters reach their capacity. But those local shelters would also have to include water and toilet facilities, and no booze or drugs would be allowed. Another item I'd like to mention is Kaiser University, Daytona, will host their annual Criminal Justice Day with local law enforcement agencies. That'll be Thursday, April 18th, 10 a.m., 12 noon, and it'll highlight the field of criminal justice. Now, high school students and general public will see demonstrations and learn firsthand from Daytona Beach Police Department K-9 units and their SWAT team and Motor Brigade, Daytona Beach Fire Department, and Port Orange Police Department. And for more information, call 274-5060. Next item, another segment of this podcast is Did You Know? Now, Volusia County School District, starting teacher salaries, beginning teacher with bachelor's degree, no experience, starting salary is $48,670. That's $48,670. A teacher's with a master's degree, starting salary is $51,661. For teachers with a doctorate, starting salary is $54,563. Now, keep that in your memory files, and if it ever comes up in conversation, at least you'll know the facts. Next item, remember that medical marijuana constitutional amendment that voters approved in 2015? Well, there are currently 900,000 patients eligible for medical marijuana in Florida, and this number continues to arise. But Florida Supreme Court recently approved Amendment 3 to legalize non-medical recreational use of marijuana and accessories by an adult 21 years or older. Now, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody argued that the amendment was misleading and gave an unfair advantage to major medical marijuana operators. So, again, Florida Supreme Court ruling will allow voters to decide in November whether to legalize recreational marijuana for adults in the state. And remember, any amendment must be approved by 60% margin. Next item, I know I always harp on that darn $34 trillion national debt, but now I want to discuss the state of Florida's long-term financial standing. Now, as of June the 30th last year, Florida's outstanding total direct debt stands at $16.3 billion, $800 million less than it was in fiscal year 2021-22. And it's had a 42% reduction since 2011. Now, some key points include Florida's debt ratio was 2.93%, and general revenue collections increased $3.3 billion over fiscal year 2022-23, helping Florida's strong financial position. And then bond refinancing, Florida's legislative and gubernatorial aversion to bonding, along with leveraging bond refinancing opportunities, has helped reduce outstanding debt, and transportation and education funding efforts constitute the largest portions of direct debt. Now, over the next 10 years, Florida is expected to pay $11.2 billion in debt service on outstanding net tax-supported debt, with 34% of this amount, that being $3.8 billion, in interest payments. Now, refinancing initiatives have successfully saved taxpayers' money by reducing interest on bonds. And next item is our interview with DeLand Mayor Chris Cloudman.
Glad to have you with us, Chris.
Good evening, Jim. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, that was a productive and festive meeting that y'all had last night. So DeLand has been on the forefront of trying to provide workforce housing within y'all city boundaries and stuff. And I've been very appreciative of, you know, what y'all been doing there. Can you share a little bit more light of what y'all looking at in the future, workforce housing?
Sure. Some of the steps that we've taken are similar to other cities, but also in line with the collaborative that the county put together with representatives from all the other cities in Volusia County, and to identify some of the ways that we can regionally approach it. So one of the things that we took the initiative of was in the core of the city, we did pass an ordinance or amend an ordinance that allows for accessory dwelling units by right, which means if you want to build a in-law suite or something of those sorts on your property, it's a lot easier to do that now without having to come and ask for a variance, just going through the normal steps with the building department. You know, other than that, we're working with organizations like the Neighborhood Center. Our planning staff are actually drafting an ordinance that would allow for the creation of, say, a tiny house village or something along those sorts. And then we're just continuing to try to update our codes to make them more user-friendly as well.
Okay. Well, also, the Lands SunRail Station, that's going to open up on just the west side of your city sometime this summer. I don't know what month if you heard, but what are some of the steps that the Land's been taking to prepare for SunRail coming in?
Yeah, I, for one, I'm excited for that. I sit on a number of regional boards that meet in the Orlando area, and so I take SunRail whenever I can to go to those meetings. So being able to leave from DeLand instead of driving to DeBary to get on the train will be great. We're working with the county on addressing that kind of first mile, last mile step in the journey. The county is having, through VOTRAN, their new VoRide service will be servicing the station. And then we've had some studies done by our Main Street Association of a possible trolley, and that's not exactly off the books, but it's something that could happen in the future. But certainly in the meantime, VoRide, which has recently launched here in DeLand, as we were the pilot city for that, has gone over really well, and it's really opened up subsidized transportation options for our community members.
Okay. I know DeLand has been working on some innovative steps to address homelessness, and that y'all been working with groups like Neighborhood Center, and then y'all have had the panhandling ordinance, and what was it called? Change for Change, some type of, where you're collecting money locally.
Yes, spare change for real change.
Spare change for real change. Thank you. And I know y'all have taken, like say, some other ordinances that y'all just recently approved. So how's that going, if you could share with us?
They're good first steps. So the Spare Change for Real Change initially launched when we passed an ordinance that dealt with the safety of intersections. So trying to encourage people to use the QR code on those signs and donate directly to the neighborhood center, which can provide services and goods to our individuals who are experiencing homelessness. Rather than encouraging, people coming out into traffic and coming up to windows and asking for money, there over the years had been a number of pedestrian deaths that I think were related to that. And so, that was one direction that we took. And then, as you referenced here, just recently we passed an ordinance. We hope it'll encourage individuals to get the help that's out there. So we've partnered with the Neighborhood Center. We've partnered with the First Steps shelter in the Daytona Beach area as options to go and be able to sleep there and get services and get connected with social workers. Ultimately, if someone refuses to leave, there is the kind of the wording in there that would result in possibility of jail time, but that's not the ultimate goal. The goal is to get people connected with the services that they need. And so far, we have a dedicated unit in the police department that has been assigned to that, and so they're building relationships with the downtown business owners. They're building relationships with the street level homeless individuals and starting to build that rapport and be able to approach it as individuals who are trying to help rather than scaring people off or anything like that.
Okay. Well, as we all know, Florida has been receiving a number of new residents to the state coming from elsewhere in the country. And the land, I think, has added nearly what, like 10,000 people almost, I mean, in the last couple of years.
Sure.
And I know y'all are looking to survey your residents on topics like growth and infrastructure and the city's vision for the future. So, how is the city of DeLand coping with growth?
Well, like you said, like everywhere in Florida, a large increase in the number of people moving to the area, and then an increase in the number of applications for developments. And oftentimes you'll see kind of frustration vented on social media or whatever, and saying how, oh, the city wants this and the city wants that. And the truth is that the city doesn't want any necessarily want any of these developments, but people have a right to develop their property. And so it's our job to evaluate the applications that are coming in, and some of that's at the staff level, and others, make their way to the commission or the council. And we have to do make it so it's the best fit for our community and go as far as we can. Now, a lot of that leverage that we had has kind of been eroded in recent years by some of the one size fits all, legislation that's come out of Tallahassee as well. So, which we get it, there's bad apples in any situation. So that, the result of one city or one area of the state not doing the right thing, sometimes results in the legislature taking action and putting regulations or removing abilities from the entire state. It's a give and take, and we try to work with our local delegation to understand, what that impact is on us.
Okay. Well, yeah, and you mentioned the legislature, though. Now they just adjourned March the 8th and a few weeks ago. So, anything in particular that City of DeLand was looking for? Do you have any projects maybe in the hopper for this legislative session?
Yeah, we had a couple of appropriations asked this go around. One was actually for the bridge, which is our homeless crisis shelter with the neighborhood center. Unfortunately, they did get cut when the two sides were trimming the budgets to meet in the middle. And it happens, and we'll try again next year. Some of the bills we are watching, at least from the city of DeLand's point of view this year, were ones that would have a quite a negative impact on the city's budget. One of them would be a amendment that'll go on the ballot for voters to decide whether an additional homestead exemption is warranted. And just an estimated impact based on this year's numbers would be an immediate reduction of $1.5 million from the city's budget. Another one that didn't go wind up going through this year at the very end, but may come back next year, had to do with transfers from enterprise funds to a general budget at the city or county level. And so what that means in particular, it had to do with utilities. So like we have a water and sewer utility, and some of those services that we have with the utility are provided by IT and whatnot and everything. If we were an independent utility, say like Duke Energy, we could charge a franchise fee or utilities tax, but we're not, so we can't charge that. So these transfers help offset the cost of other city functions that are used by the utility. And so that was going to be another $2.8 million we would have lost off the top. Now, the end result of that is either a city or a county would then have to raise its millage to continue to offer the services that it offers, or potentially look at cutting something to make up for the difference. And what do you cut? Fires, police, public works, parks and rec. It puts a lot of burden back on the city or county level. It ultimately goes back onto the property owners. And just an example is that in the city of DeLand, well over 50% of the properties pay almost nothing or nothing annually in property tax. And so it's typically going to be the non-homesteaded residential and the businesses that shoulder that burden. And then they're going to pass that off on to people leasing their storefronts, or people renting their homes, which just further creates an issue with affordable housing.
Okay. Chris, any closing comments you want to share with us?
I'll just share that City of DeLand is again in the running for America's best hometown. And so if you go to USA Today, there's a ongoing poll right now, or select DeLand and vote on us.
Well, hey, let's see what happens there then. Chris,
Yeah.
thank you for being with us today.
All right, thank you.
And to finish up, look for a new podcast episode to be released next week. And the views expressed on this podcast may or may not necessarily express the opinions of Jim Cameron Consulting. And for more news, check out my newsletter, which is being emailed the first week of each month. And if you're not receiving it, call me at 566-2140, and my $1,000 guarantee still stands. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank our hard-working school teachers in the Volusia districts to help educate our kids to make this a better place to work and live. So again, thank you, teachers. Now this is Jim Cameron signing off, saying God bless Israel, Ukraine, United States, NATO, and I still want to see that bastard Putin's head on a stick. And and Roll Tide.